the beginning of the book of Mishle, that the Sefer Mishle was written Ladas Chochma Umusar Lahavin Imre Vina. Ladas Chochma Umusar, the Rabbeinu Yonah says that Chochma is Midas HaTzadikim. That is, Chochma is what we are supposed to be striving towards. That's Emes and Tzedek. And Musar is what we're supposed to be striving away from. Musar is moving away from that which is negative and evil. And he says to make sure that we're aware that the order in life is first making sure that we're not doing what's wrong. I guess he doesn't quote the pasuk of Sur Meirava Asei Tov, but I'm assuming that that's what he's based on. The first to try to move away from that which is wrong, and then to move towards what is right. And we shouldn't assume that the two automatically go together. People can be trying to get what's right, and they don't have enough infrastructure to avoid what's wrong. And so what they're doing is going to get undermined by their doing what's wrong. And you can have people who are avoiding what's doing wrong without realizing that they have to also do what's right. Because apparently these are two separate activities in the human condition, is trying to not do what's wrong and trying to, yes, do what's right. These are apparently two separate aspects of the human condition. One, if you want to graph it, one is at the opposite extreme of emes and tzedek, that means that what is evil in the world, the opposite extreme of what is righteous and proper. A person is supposed to move away from that with great effort. His moving away from that will get him to the middle, where he's not doing that which is the opposite of emes and tzedek. From there, he moves forward to do that which is and brings him closer to emes and tzedek. So that means there's like two worlds that need to be studied. One is the world of distancing myself from that which is wrong. There's a safer, if you will. It's a course. The safer called how to distance myself from that which is the opposite of emes and tzedek. That'll get me to the middle. Then there's another course. There's another course, which is how do I get closer to emes and tzedek? It isn't to say that sometimes you can't use trying to get closer to emes and tzedek as a way to get away from that which is its opposite. But a person should be aware that there are two endeavors in the human condition. Because if you're not aware that there are two endeavors, you sometimes don't know what sugya you're holding in. If you don't know what sugya you're holding in, it's very hard to learn, very hard to function. What sugya I'm holding in is what am I working on in terms of getting away from the opposite of emes and tzedek? Getting to a midpoint where I am no longer, I'm quite distanced from that which is the opposite of emes and tzedek. And then there is another activity, another endeavor, another human endeavor, which is to try to move towards emes and tzedek. Okay? Now, in the course of discussing the moving away from emes, from that which is the opposite of emes and tzedek, I'm using a double negative because it's not nice to talk about evil. Right? In the course of moving away from that which is the opposite of emes and tzedek, the Torah gives us, by and large, losases. By and large, the Torah gives us negative commandments, meaning don't do this. The assumption is that the don't do's are generally those things which are the opposite of emes and tzedek. Don't do things which are the opposite of emes and tzedek. But it turns out in this week's parsha we discovered that there's actually two types of negative commandments And they need to be understood as two different ways of approaching them. The specific ones that I want to talk about are those mitzvos, lo sase, which we are supposed to internalize in our heart, and which we are supposed to act on behaviorally. That was a big sentence. Let me unpack it. Okay? At the end of Kedoshim, at the end of the parsha, the Torah tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has separated us from the nations of the world by telling us not to eat non-kosher food. To be careful with the non-kosher and the kosher, to know what the difference is, to know how to distinguish them, to know what has been properly shechted, what has not been properly shechted. The Torah says, I told you to be careful with this. And in so doing, I have separated you from the nations of the world. So the Pasuk tells us several Havdalahs, relevant to the Daf Yomi, those who take a peek in that direction. We just had the Daf Yomi talked about the fact that you need to have at least three and not more than six Havdalahs. When you make Havdalah, our Havdalah is pretty much is quite standardized. We make the same bracha of Havdalah. We don't make it up as we go along. But when there was still a discussion about the bracha of Havdalah at the end of Shabbos, so the Gemara says you must not have fewer than three nor more than six Havdalahs. And Hamavdil ben Kodesh Lechol, that is in the Pasuk, ben Or Lechoshech, that is in the Pasuk, ben Yisrael Lo'amim, between Jew and non-Jew, is also in the Pasuk, and that appears in this week's Parsha. Ani Hashem Elokechem asher hivdalti eschem min ha'amim. Hashem has separated us from the people, from the other nations. And then it says, you shall separate between behemoth tahora latamea, between the kosher and the non-kosher animal. I presume you could stick that into Havdalah. Hamavdil ben Kodesh Lechol, ben Or Lechoshech, ben Yisrael Lo'amim, ben behemoth tameos, le behemoth she'en tameos. Okay, not our nusach, but theoretically you could have more Havdalos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mavdil. Then it says, V'yisem li kedoshim, and you'll be sanctified to me. V'hisem almost means that if you do A, B will follow automatically. V'hisem li kedoshim, if you'll do A, then you will be, then here's the state you'll be in. The state you'll be in is V'hisem li kedoshim. Ki kedosh ani Hashem. And this is supposed to be relevant to our imitating Hashem. V'avdil eschem min ha'amim li yosli. And I've separated you from the nations to be mine, says Rashi. Im atem muvdolim mehem, if you're separated from them, and I believe, even though it's a little ambiguous as to what the word mehem means, I believe that mehem is from these non-kosher foods. Harei atem shali, then you guys are mine. V'yisem li, v'avdil eschem min ha'amim liyos li, if you separate yourselves from the non-kosher food, then you're mine. V'im lav, and if you don't, harei atem shel nevuchadnetzer v'chaveirav, then you belong to the Gentiles. Nevuchadnetzer and his allies, v'siglu me'eretz hakadosha. And unfortunately, galus follows. If we're not careful about what food we eat, then galus follows. That's v'avdil eschem min ha'amim liyos li. Something to daven for on Hey Iyar. We should be able to retain our schus to Eretz Yisrael and being careful to make sure that we are careful about what foods are kosher and what foods are not. So there you have a timely message. Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah Omer, the Rashi continues and says, Minayin shelo yomar odom nafshi kotza bibisar chazir. How do you know that a person shouldn't say, I can't tolerate non-kosher food? How do you know that a person shouldn't say, I can't tolerate non-kosher food? Efshi lilbosh kilayim, I could never wear shatnez. Not me, I couldn't. I just couldn't wear shatnez. Aval yomar efshi. But rather, a person should say, I could. I could eat non-kosher food. I could wear shatnez. U'mo'eseh. But what can I do? Va'avisha ba'shamayim gozar alai. My father in heaven, father who loves me, told me that I shouldn't eat, I shouldn't do these things, that I shouldn't eat that food, that I shouldn't wear that shatnez. Talmud Lomer. Va'avdileschem mino amim li yosli. Shetehei havdaloschem mehem lishmi. That when you separate yourselves from these things, when you separate yourselves from what? From non-kosher food, from shatnez, what should you do? Shouldn't do it because you have a natural tendency or an inclination not to do it. So you shouldn't get to the point where your relationship to these things is because you don't like them. You study the philosophy of shatnez, and in the philosophy of shatnez, you know, it comes from the earth. We're talking about linen and wool. One comes from the animal kingdom and one comes from the ground. The linen and the wool, you know, I'm a vegan. I won't mix my ground and my living things. I either have living things or earth things, but I don't mix linen and wool. I'm a purist. I only wear either wool or linen, but I don't mix. You're not supposed to get to the point where that's your feeling. Rather, it's fine. Shatnez is fine. I could wear shatnez. Only one thing. My father told me not to. So with this mitzvah, with this losase, the kiddush Hashem in the losase, the kiddush Hashem is in doing it, not in getting to the point where we don't, where our hearts are with it. Our hearts are with Hashem. The kiddush Hashem involved in not eating Basar Chazir or not wearing shatnez, the kiddush Hashem is, my father said. There's no mitzvah to get to the point where I couldn't tolerate that which grows from the ground and that which grows on an animal to be put together. I could, but my father said not to. Okay? That's one type of lo sase. There's another type of lo sase that appears in the parsha as well with regard to v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. What does it say in the pasuk? It says lo sikom v'lo sitor es b'nei amecha. You should not do what? Anybody? Lo sikom? You should not. Nekama is
revenge.
Should not take revenge, even though the Mesil Sesharim says that it's the sweetest feeling. There's nothing sweeter for a person when somebody has wronged him. There's nothing sweeter than wronging him back. Velosi Torah b'nei amecha, and you should not do what? What is Netira? Anybody?
Holding
a grudge. Netira is holding a grudge. That means that I do it back. What I'm supposed to do, I do for him. But I remind him that I'm not like him. You did something wrong to me. I'm not going to stoop to your level. I'll do something nice to you. Okay? V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. Ani Hashem. I think you have to translate that with the word rather. Rather. That means you're not supposed to bear a grudge or take revenge. Rather, you're supposed to love your fellow as yourself. Ani Hashem. So now, you have somebody who did you something wrong. And he's standing at the door and he wants a favor. Standing at the door of your room and he's asking you for a favor. So, you go through the following thought process. Really, I would love to take revenge. And if I can't take revenge, at least I'd like to bear a grudge. But what can I do? My Father in heaven said, love your neighbor as yourself. What do you have left? It's the same person, right? So you didn't do the mitzvah of v'ahavta l'recha kamocha. V'ahavta l'recha kamocha is to feel positively towards him. Ahava is not just a behavior. Ahava is a feeling. So this negative commandment is different than the other negative commandment. What is this negative commandment about? It's about altering your heart. Here, you're supposed to feel positively towards him, not feel negatively towards him. Now, you're supposed to get to the point where it doesn't occur to you to feel negatively towards him. The Kiddush Hashem in this mitzvah is to do what? Is to alter your heart. So again, let's make sure that we have this clear. The Kiddush Hashem in the mitzvah of not eating treif food, how are you mekadesh shem shema? What's the Kiddush Hashem in that mitzvah? The Kiddush Hashem is, my father said not to. That's the Kiddush Hashem. If you're asking yourself, why am I not eating treif food? The answer, the Kiddush Hashem in your heart should be, because my father said not to, not because there's anything wrong with it, not because I wouldn't want it, not because it's disgusting, not because I philosophized it away, not because I've decided that the kosher food is somehow healthier, none of the above. It is because the Kiddush Hashem is, my father said not to. That's the mitzvah. My father said not to. When it comes to the other losaseh, and generally speaking, you'll find that these are the losaseh associated with interpersonal issues, bin adam l'chavera. So it's not that I should want it, but not do it because God said not to do it. The Kiddush Hashem there is to modify my heart so that I feel positively towards him, not negatively. Go ahead.
Isn't the Kiddush Hashem, isn't what you're saying, that you change your feeling in your heart because Hashem tells you to?
Yes, of course.
But because you're doing it because Hashem tells you to?
Yeah, of, absolutely. But you see that there's difference. One is a direct command, so to speak, to be Mekadesh Shem Shamayim with changing your feelings, changing your heart. And the other is to be Mekadesh Shem Shamayim by altering your behavior. The Kiddush Shem Shamayim is the altering of the behavior. Sometimes you need one in order to get to the other, because Adam Nifal Kafi Pe'ulosav, a person is affected by his behaviors. That means if I lend the fellow my shaver, where I felt negative towards him, it could very well be that that will help me to feel more positively towards him, because we tend to be affected by our behaviors. But we have to know what we're aiming towards. Now, I'm not saying hinani mukhan mazuman here, I'm preparing myself to do the mitzvah of not bearing a grudge, of not taking revenge, because I lent him the shaver and I didn't remind him about what he had done wrong to me. That's good, but that's not what the Torah is looking for. The Kiddush Hashem factor is to be able to alter your heart. And I'll just mention parenthetically, I have a masora from Rosh Hashiva, from Avenach Liberut Shlita, that he said that if you want to know how to do that, how do you do it? I'm talking today about the fact that there are these two types of commandments. But if you want to ask the question, about how does a person do a thing like that? It seems like fulfilling the mitzvah that you talked about at the end of the parsha, which is not eating things for because Hashem said not to eat them, that sounds a little easier. Okay, I'll buy that. It maybe sounds a little bit easier. I think doing something really for the sake of heaven is a wonderful accomplishment, because it means that you believe that Hashem exists. To do something that you really feel perfectly comfortable with, that nothing about you says, nothing about you screams out, this is the wrong thing to do, and to nevertheless guard yourself from it, is a very powerful statement that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists. I happen to think that it's not a simple thing to do at all. But okay, let's say you would suggest to me, you know what? I can hear that much better. I can hear doing a mitzvah and affirming that Hashem exists more readily than changing my heart. Because after all, revenge, even goyim teach their children not to take revenge. Grudges, you know, they think that's not a good thing to do unless it's a Jew involved. It's not a good thing to have take revenge or to bear a grudge. No, the rules change if they're a Jew involved, but otherwise it's not good. Even a goy would tell you that it's not a nice thing to do. And yet, we're supposed to do it because Hashem told us to change our heart, to love our neighbor. So the Rashivas used to say, what happens if somebody were to ask, but how do you do a thing like that? How do you change your heart? So he says the secret is in the end of the Pasuk, Ani Hashem. The secret's in the end of the Pasuk. What would happen if while you were standing there at the door, while your friend is standing there at the door, and he wants to borrow your shaver, and he did something that was not so beseder, not so okay, and you feel like letting him have it, and I'm not talking about the shaver, and your phone rings. Well, your phone rings, certainly that takes priority over lending him shaver. That's Pasha, right? So you go take the phone call, and it's the state of Illinois. They're calling from the state of Illinois. You are the single winner in a super lottery, $24 million super lottery for the state of Illinois. And unless you need to check your pulse, you feel like dancing. And you just, you know, you do the standard, really? Really? Is it me? You know, you do the standard, and then once they, you know, and they're recording that because they put that on the, you know, they like that. That's for the radio, really. And then you screech a little bit. But after you're done screeching, you want to dance. You want to somehow express this incredible piece of good news. Well, and the only person around in sight is this guy at the door. And you grab this guy at the door and you start dancing around the room. $24 million! And somebody was walking down the hall and hears the ruckus, taps you on the shoulder and says, what about what he did? What about the... Say, are you kidding? Are you kidding? $24 million! That's the secret of the Pasuk. The secret of the Pasuk is that if you want to alter a negative feeling and feel positively towards him, you need to remember a piece of incredibly good news. Ani Hashem. I'm looking after you. I'm taking care of everything. I'm on top of everything, and there's absolutely no difficulty that you encounter in life that I didn't send your way and that I am not taking into account. I got it all figured out for your absolute, absolute best. That piece of news would naturally lend itself, if you focus on that piece of news, to want to dance with a guy. Right, but he did something to you and it's not so nice. First of all, he didn't do it to me. Hashem, who loves me, did it to me to get me on the right track. Second of all, Hashem loves me. Hashem's looking after me. I'm totally taken care of. So that is a device, a method, for being able to make a shift from the negative headspace, the negative heart space, if you will. It's more than a headspace, a heart space, to a more positive headspace or heart space. That's the trick. But what's important for our discussion is we make sure that we know what these two commandments are like. So when you're working on things, you should have a sense of what it is that you're working on. There is, on the one hand, the types of mitzvos where they express themselves as an affirmation that Hashem exists. You say, wait a second, they both are affirmations that Hashem exists. Ah, now you're getting the point. Now you're getting the point. It turns out that there's two different ways of affirming that Hashem exists. One way of affirming that Hashem exists is by what? by affirming that whatever he knows what's best for me, and I'm therefore delighted to be a servant of Hashem. What should a person feel? How is he supposed to deal with wanting somebody else's wife? You're not supposed to want somebody else's wife. It's not enough just not to take her. You have to not want her. How am I going to do that? Because Hashem, it's an affirmation of what? That Hashem is providing for me absolutely the best. That is supposed to affect my heart. So I don't want what he didn't want for me. What happens with the other kind of mitzvah? Why shouldn't I wear shatnez? Speak it out. Why shouldn't I wear shatnez? Because what? Because Hashem, who loves me, told me what's best. Wait a second, that sounded the same. We just lost the difference. It slipped out. What just happened to the difference? It just slipped through our fingers there. What just happened to the difference? We had a nice clean difference before. The clean difference we started with was there are those negative commandments which express themselves behaviorally. Just don't wear shatnez because Hashem said not to wear shatnez. The Kiddush Hashem is don't wear shatnez because Hashem said not to wear shatnez. And there's this other Kiddush Hashem where the Kiddush Hashem is to alter what I feel. You're not supposed to alter what you feel about shatnez. You're supposed to alter what you feel about nekama, a revenge, grudge-bearing, and marrying somebody else's wife. So we had a very nice distinction, right? Now, when we come to try to review the distinction, what are we left with? Well, it gets a little blurry here, right? How am I supposed to alter my feelings about revenge and grudge-bearing and somebody else's wife or somebody else's money? By doing what?
Remembering Ani Hashem.
Which means what? That Hashem looks after me, provides for me, and loves me. So I'm not missing anything. And if there's something that I feel that I'm missing, that's what He wants me to feel, the deficit. I need that in order to reach my perfection. So it's all Him. So therefore, I'm not going to feel a lack. I'm not going to feel that I'm missing out by not taking revenge. Because not between me and this guy. It's between me and Hashem. Why am I not supposed to eat the shat? Why am I not supposed to eat the chazir or wear the shatnez? Because what? Because Hashem said. What does that mean that Hashem said?
Hashem knows what's best for you.
Hashem knows what's best for me. And Hashem told me, Va'avisha b'shamayim, my father told me, Va'avisha b'shamayim, gazar alai. My father said not to. What does that mean? My father said not to. My father, wasn't that a program in America? Father knows best, right? Father knows best. Father told me that that's not good for me. So all of a sudden, the Kiddush Hashem factor in both types of los ases is essentially distills to one statement, which is Ani Hashem. Hence, you will find in this pasuk as well, V'yisem li kadoshim ki kadosh Ani Hashem. So we have a very strange thing. We started out with what I consider to be a very clear distinction and ended up with a blur. But the blur leads us to something more fundamental. What does the blur lead us to? Developing a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is something that we're supposed to be trying to do all the time. What does that mean? That means that it's one of the mitzvot tamidios. It's one of the things that we're supposed to be trying to do all the time. When we're doing something that we don't understand the reason for, checking our suits for shatnez, or avoiding non-kosher food, what are we supposed to be thinking about? Ani Hashem. Kodesh Baruch Hu knows what's best. And He determined that I should not wear shatnez. When it comes to feeling a feeling that I'm not meant to feel, What thought should run through my mind? Ani Hashem. The Kodesh Baruch Hu loves me, knows what's best for me, and therefore there's no reason in the world to start getting worked up about this thing. So the soda machine's broken. Soda machine's broken is a reality. That reality comes from Kodesh Baruch Hu. So Ani Hashem. So no reason to get angry. So you say, oh, that's very nice. Easier said than done. What's easier said than done is developing the relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Once there's a relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, then the other two parts of the application of this story, which is both being able to say, I can't wear that suit because it has shotness, and I feel positively towards this fellow. I don't want to take away his money. I want to protect his money. Becomes a natural experience. The difficult story is the Ani Hashem. And that's why I'd like to shift your attention, or at least to focus your attention, as you're trying to work through the steps of growing in your Avodas Hashem, and you're trying to make sure that you don't do Averos, and you're trying to make sure that you do Mitzvos. Did I get turned over? Is it meant to be turned over?
Yeah.
When you're trying to do those things, and you're trying to work, you know, you're in yeshiva and you're working on so many things, and like, oh, I gotta remember this aver, and I gotta remember this mitzvah, and I can remember to take care of this, I can remember this. So wait a second. Don't forget what the underlying story is. The underlying story is I'm trying to develop a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's not an easy thing to do. You know why it's not an easy thing to do? You know why it's not easy? I'll tell you. Because you can't see him. And you can't feel him. And you can't hear him. And you can't... You know, none of the senses... You can't smell him. So since your senses do not affirm his existence, it is a challenge to work through your seichel to remind yourself that it's all about a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And this has a nice reciprocal relationship here. When you work on trying to affirm your relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, it becomes easier to do both kinds of mitzvahs, both the mitzvah of not wearing shatnez, as well as the mitzvah of not hating your friend. And actively not wearing shatnez, and actively working to get rid of the hatred, helps to affirm the relationship with Hashem. Because when I do something for Ploni, I do something for someone, that someone becomes more real to me. If I tell you, fellows, that there's a guy in Mexico who's working very hard, he's in Guadalajara in medical school, you know, because he was born my son, the doctor, so and he couldn't get into an American medical school, so he's in Guadalajara, and he's going to medical school there. And in the middle of medical school, he realized that he's a Jew. And that a Jew has mitzvahs. And in Guadalajara, he's trying to learn Torah. How do you feel about that guy? How do you feel about him? Special, man. Yeah. If I now tell you that you could write your notes on what you're learning about in Shir, and I'll send your notes, or you can send the notes, you can email to this fellow. All you have is an email address. You don't even know the guy exists. But after you've sent a message to him, he didn't respond. You sent a message to him, he's already more real for you. You made him more real. You know how you made him more real? By sending him your notes. So wait a second, I didn't get back a response. Even before, if you get back a response, so that's... Then it's even more real. But I didn't get back a response. He became more real because I did something that made him real. I wrote him notes. So when you approach tefillah, when you're about to daven, you say, Baruch Atah Hashem, should have in mind, I'm trying to make you more real by actually talking to you. By sending you a message, I'm not only affirming your existence, I'm trying to internalize your existence.
The reason why you would make him real if you're sending him an email is that because afterwards it will sell it, it will come up as sent.
Yes.
Whether when you're davening, you'll never get any sent.
Actually, the halacha says you were yotze. The halacha says you were yotze. It's mamash the word sent. And if a person was not yotze tefillah, there's a halacha about when he was yotze and when he was not. And if he was yotze, he mamash gets back exactly that. Sent. Sent.
You have to hear your own voice.
Right? Shmi la'ozna. The truth of the matter is, as long as your lips are moving and you create the words with your mouth, that's why you shouldn't scream on the airplanes when you're davening. You know, even though you can't hear yourself.
That's your way of understanding that you're actually sending.
But again, if I did it the way the halacha prescribes, then I'm getting back a sense of sent. Sent. That makes HaKadosh Baruch Hu more real. See, I don't need to make HaKadosh Baruch Hu more real. He's just as real as he always was. And don't kid yourself. He's as real as he is for me. Each one of us, he's as real as we create his reality. And what will that do if we increase our sense of his reality? What will that do? It'll make it that much easier to check my suit for shatnez, and it'll make it that much easier to not feel negative towards, and to not want the money of, and to not want the wife of, etc., of somebody else. So we started with, as I said, we started with a split. When we analyze the split, it turns out that the whole story really boils down to Ani Hashem. And the work that we have, which is a daunting task, don't forget, we're living in a world where they try to explain everything. They try to explain all phenomena. So you say, that's a good thing. In Gemara, we also try to explain everything. What's the matter with trying to explain everything? What's that?
We're not meant to understand it.
So what do they do with things that they don't understand?
Creative.
Careful. What do we do when we don't understand something in Gemara? What do we do?
Teku.
Well, there's a teku. There's also two letters. Tzadi ayin. Tzadi ayin means tzorech iyun. The call is to... It needs more investigation. It needs more exploration. You say, what does that imply? What does that imply when they say tzorech iyun? It needs more. Because I know that the Torah is emes. Except my head can't get it in. Can't get it into my head. And where it counts is in my head. So if I can't get it into my head, I don't make believe. I say, Tzarechim. I couldn't get it into my head. Because what counts is my head. What I get into my head. What happens in secular sciences if they can't understand something? What's that?
It doesn't exist.
It either doesn't exist or the answer exists. It doesn't matter that I don't understand. Darwin wrote, with regard to his theory of evolution, he wrote that the I should have disproved his theory. He writes that. He said, the I should disprove my theory. You know why the eye should disprove his theory?
It would have to evolve all at once.
Right. It would have to have evolved into a seeing thing all at once. What would happen if like the first little tendrils or the first little bump would appear? What would be their survival? Would be those species that did not have that bump. Right? Because the bump is unnecessary. So it would have to have evolved in about 80 zillion steps. Mm-hmm. Would have to all evolved at once in order for it to evolve at all. So what did he say? He wrote? He wrote that it really, by all rights, it should disprove my theory. But the alternative is a believing God. and a belief in God is it's unacceptable, so we have to go on with the theory. So what did he do? He wasn't willing to say that what counts is what I know. And if it doesn't make sense to me, then I don't know it. Tzarech Iyun. He didn't say Tzarech Iyun. He said, I know what the outcome's going to be. The truth of the matter is, it's almost a religious faith. If you think about it, it really is an echo of the sort of religious faith that a person has in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Person who doesn't understand, does he know in the end that a Kadosh Baruch Hu exists? Yes, he knows in the end that Kadosh Baruch Hu exists and the Torah is true, he just doesn't understand. So he adopted this as a religious faith. I've often felt that the diehard evolutionists in the world are more religious than I am. I'll tell you. Right now in America there's 4 or 5 Supreme Court cases before the Supreme Court where there were teachers in various parts of the country, school districts that permitted teachers to make reference to the theory of creation in the classroom. And they're taken to the Supreme Court because that's a violation of the law. So they were, you hear this? They were allowed, the school districts made an allowance, didn't require any teachers to do it, they made an allowance if a teacher wanted to make reference to creation as a theory of the origin of the world. And that was shot down. They were not allowed to do that. They weren't allowed to allow the teachers to do that. So I wish I was that frum. Right? Do I react like that when somebody says something against the Kodesh Baruch Hu? That's it. You can't say that. Well, what do you mean they can't say that? You can't say that. You can't even give somebody the option to say that. You under no circumstances may you ever say that. Whoa. That guy's frum. I'm jealous. Maybe not jealous of their methodology. I don't know if the Supreme Court would be the place that I would run to. But the feeling of like, well, you can't say that. No way, you can't say that. Just leave you, I had a grandmother, Alei Shalom. She passed away at age 100, about 5 years ago. She was the oldest. Time of her passing, she was the oldest survivor of Auschwitz. She was a very compassionate woman, very fine woman, very stately. She always carried herself with a great deal of dignity, even though she left the world having had given birth to 5 sons, and my father, a son-in-law, said Kaddish for her. No, there were no sons left. To those that had died one way, died another way. She always had a very positive approach to life. She used to sit me down at the table. She cooked until the end of her life. She cooked very healthy, massive quantities. When I was a yeshiva bacher, she lived in Beit Vegan, and I was in yeshiva in Sanhedrin Rochevet. Those are two opposite extremes of Yerushalayim. And if I couldn't come Friday night for the meal, I had to come Friday during the day. I had to come Friday during the day or else go up come Friday night to come to her house for the meal. The meal that I had there, like after walking from Beit Vegan to Sanhedrin Rochevet, it's about 1 hour and 50 minutes. After walking from Beit Vegan to Sanhedrin Rochevet, first there was nothing to talk about eating in the morning. That was out of the question. I couldn't eat shalashudis. That was from the meal that I had, you know, that was a Friday meal. Okay.
That was the day that
Right, that was when I didn't go for Shabbos. So she used to say to me, you know, we don't understand the Kodesh Baruch Hu's ways, but that's not our job. Our job is to do what he tells us to do. So if you hear that from some Orthodox rabbi, so that's a nice line. If you hear that from somebody who lost everything, I'm named for her first husband. I'm named for my grandfather, for her first husband who was killed in the camps. His name was Ephraim. And she lost everything. She lost everything. And she used to say, we don't always understand what Kadosh Baruch Hu does, but that's not our job. Our job is to do what he tells us to do. But when she would go to a shiva house, it was fascinating. She was very compassionate. Would listen to the person's pain and listen to them crying out. She was very compassionate until they said one word about Kadosh Baruch Hu. Right there in the shiva house, right there, she'd walk over to them and say, that's enough. That's enough. Pain, you're in pain, I'm going to share the pain. You can't talk about a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So I used to think that was amazing. I used to think that's a person, that's a Muna. But it was always about somebody else's pain. My uncle, the two sons who survived the war, two uncles of mine, they both in the end died of cancer. One of them was the superstar of the family, and one of them was a broken spirit. The superstar was the one who brought them over to America, who took care of my grandmother, who educated everybody, who married off my mother and my aunt. He was the superstar of the family. He did everything for the family. He was my grandmother's right hand and left hand. And the other one was a broken spirit. We can't judge people who came out of the camps. He felt responsible for a little brother who was taken away while he was taken to the infirmary in the camps for typhus. He was taken away to the camp, to the infirmary, and this little brother was never sent on a transport. And he was a broken man. And he was the fun uncle because he had no responsibilities. He had the BMW and he played ping pong with us. He was the fun uncle, but a broken man. And that uncle, I some people survived, some people lived. There were survivors and there were those who lived on. He lived. Broken man. The uncle who was my grandmother's right hand and left hand passed away the Shabbos before my bar mitzvah. The Levaya was on Sunday, and she was arriving from Eretz Yisrael. She lived all the years here in Eretz Yisrael. She was arriving from Eretz Yisrael on Monday. She wasn't there for the Levaya. And there were no children. Her daughters were not there at the airport to greet her. Why not? They were sitting Shiva. Daughters were sitting Shiva. So there was grandchildren there at the airport, and there was a doctor was sent along as well, in case, God forbid, that was needed. My grandmother got into the car. There was silence in the car. And we drove to my uncle's house, to the Shiva house. As we got into the door of the Shiva house, nobody had said a word to my grandmother. She walked into the house, and she saw who was sitting Shiva in the house, and the reality that this favorite son was gone hit her. And just as that reality was hitting her, this other uncle said, "Oy, mama, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given you so much tzaris, so much tzar, so much pain," he said to her in Yiddish. And she spun around in an instant. She just turned to him and he gave me so much nachas and so much joy. She would not let that second go. Not a second. While she would have been entitled to a moment of internalizing what just happened, she wasn't going to take that moment because she had spent her entire life doing one thing, internalizing Ani Hashem. And if you spend a lifetime internalizing Ani Hashem, then you don't give it away, not for anything, for at any time, under any circumstances, even at such a moment. So I always used to be amazed that she would do that at a Shiva house. And I had been with her many times at a Shiva house. That was always amazing to me. But I always wondered, it's their pain. It's the other one's pain. It's very nice to be frum on the other person's cheshbon. To tell somebody else that it's God, that this shouldn't start up with God. But in that instant, the Ani Hashem was absolutely developed. There was a reality. And it was the same reality that wouldn't let her wear shatnez. And it was the same reality that allowed her to let go of negative feelings. My grandmother was not a negative person. She would have every right in the world to be a deeply negative person. A person looking for revenge. A person steeped in negativity. There wasn't an ounce of negativity in my grandmother's being. And that was an internalization, a lifelong work of Ani Hashem. What do you get from it? You get both types of mitzvos become not only easier, but become palatable and possible with the approach of the Ani Hashem. When you have the Ani Hashem, you have everything. And if you don't have the Ani Hashem, then all you have is a laundry list of things that you need to not do, things you need to avoid, more things you need to avoid. Now, that's an important laundry list. After all, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us that laundry list. But it's tedious beyond words. Don't forget to work on Ani Hashem. When you say Baruch Atah Hashem in your davening, say, I'm sending a message because I want to make you more real for me, so that I can then serve you from a place of Ani Hashem. Kol Tov Rabosam.